Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud in Bechoros. We have a distinct pleasure and honor today to return back to the topic of Tumas Ochlin, but assurances, please, that it's only going to be for one day, just daf Yud. And if you enjoy Tumas Ochlin when we're in Masech Techulin, so you're going to love Tumas Ochlin today. And again, repetition of these topics and concepts will definitely help. I'm starting to understand it. Just starting. Okay, the big topic of the day, which we're going to start with, is that Petach Hamor, that firstborn donkey. Is it Aser B'Hana? Okay, simple question. Such a simple question. It's going to be subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. And then on top of that, we're going to have perhaps a Machlokas Amarayim layered on top of that. Okay, but let's start off nice and simple. Petach Hamor, is it Aser B'Hana? Can you get benefit from it? So let's think it outside first, and then we'll go into the Gemara, and we'll read inside the Gemara. Meaning, what happens? You have a firstborn donkey, and the Torah says you got to redeem it. And then what do? You take a sheep, your own sheep, and you transfer the Kedusha, the sanctity, from the firstborn donkey to the sheep, and then you hand over the sheep to the Kohen. And what can the Kohen do with the sheep? Whatever he wants with it, it doesn't matter. It has no Kedusha whatsoever. So is it not the most it's confusing now. Meaning, even without reading a word of Gemara. It is so absolutely confusing. Does that Petach Hamor have Kedusha? So on one hand, it needs to be redeemed. So if it needs to be redeemed, that indicates that Petach Hamor has Kedusha. I mean, even before that point in time, we could just simply point to the fact that it's a firstborn. And the Torah says we're going to treat it like a bechor. Now, it's not a kosher animal. You're not going to eat it. It's not going to be brought on the Mizbech, but the Torah says it's Petach Hamor. It's a firstborn. So on one hand, you could say that it has Kedusha, and therefore, it's Aser B'Hana, you can't get benefit from it. Okay, so that, and then we'll turn to the point, which is that it needs to be redeemed. So if something needs to be redeemed, it sounds like this item has Kedusha. Okay, but then keep going, meaning follow the story, right? Or as they say in modern commerce, follow the money. Follow the story. But then what happens is I take my sheep, I redeem the Kedusha from the donkey to the sheep, and I hand it to the Kohen. And what's the Kohen do with the sheep? What happened to the Kedusha? Right, where's the Kedusha? If there was Kedusha in that donkey, and I transferred the Kedusha from the donkey to the sheep, so where's the Kedusha now?
Well, maybe there's limited Kedusha.
Okay, so very good, very good. So it's Kedusha. So maybe it's just Kedusha's Damim, not Kedusha's Aguf. Okay, right, fine. But even if that's true, so shouldn't the Kohen now have to redeem the sheep? In other words, where did the Kedusha just kind of disappeared? Cohen could do whatever he wants with the sheep. Where's the Kedusha? So we don't need to learn Gemara. I mean, we're going to learn Gemara today. But we don't even need to learn Gemara to understand that it is confusing and it's ambiguous to understand. That firstborn donkey, does it or does it not have Kedusha? Okay, good. And now with that introduction, so let's get to the Gemara. The Gemara will unconfuse. All right, maybe not totally unconfuse, but at least grapple with this very issue. We are basically between two opinions. That's Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. I'm going to start the two dots on Tesamud Beis. I know we did it yesterday, but it really is the beginning of the whole sugya, and it's a new day. Let's start fresh. Look, the Mishnah had the following scenario. I had an animal. It gave birth. We don't know. It gave birth to a boy and to a girl. What came out first, the boy or the girl? We're not sure. So what did the Mishnah say? Redeem it, but you get to keep the sheep. You don't have to give the sheep to the Kohen. We explained it yesterday. Hamotz mechaver olav araya. Because now the Kohen, all he has on you is a tinus mammon. He only has a monetary claim against you. And because he doesn't know for sure, you don't know for sure, if the sheep needs to go to him, hamotz mechaver olav araya. Good. But leave out the money issue for now. Go back to the first point, which is you need to redeem the Petach Hamor. That's what the Mishnah says. You're not even sure, but still you need to redeem the Petach Hamor. So what is that? So the Gemara's observation is it must be that that firstborn donkey is Aser B'Hana. Otherwise, why would I be redeeming it? Ama kemet olamafka Aser B'Hana. Mas nisen mani Rav Yehuda hi. And so therefore, I will say, this is Gemara talking, I will say that the Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. Did tell you, we learned in a brisa. Petach Hamor Aser B'Hana. The Petach Hamor is prohibited to benefit. You cannot get benefit from your firstborn donkey. Obviously, we're talking about prior to redemption. You cannot get benefit from it. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's okay. You can get benefit from it. So now my time at the Rav Yehuda. So what's the reason? What's the basis of Rav Yehuda? And obviously we're going to ask the question later on. What's the basis of Rabbi Shimon? But right now, what's the basis of Rav Yehuda? Amar Ula Yishta Chadav Shetzarech B'Dio Mutter. So we'll start off by making it an argument of Svara. We'll make it logic, a logical argument. The Torah says you have to redeem. Is there such a thing where you have to redeem it and it didn't have Kedusha? The mere fact that you have to redeem it indicates that it has Kedusha. So the Gemara says, I'll point to things that need redemption and don't have Kedusha. V'lov ha're b'chor Adam, Shetzarech B'Dio Umutter, b'chor Adam. Right, you have your firstborn son. Okay, is he aser bahana? No, he can get you a drink. I know you have to ask more than once, but I'm saying he can get it for you. You can get hana from your firstborn son, and even if you didn't redeem, okay. So you see that your firstborn son needs redemption, but it doesn't have kedusha. It's not aser bahana. Ella. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's repackage the argument. Maybe the argument goes like this. Well, the Torah doesn't just simply say redeem. Torah says redeem and redeem with a sheep. That indicates that if the Torah is specific about how to redeem, must be that it's gotta have Kedusha. So the Gemara asks a technical question. Gemara tells a story about Namora who had a firstborn donkey and redeemed it with cooked vegetables. Now, when you redeem with cooked vegetables, now any item of value, it didn't have to be cooked vegetables, but when you redeem with cooked vegetables, it has to be dollar for dollar, meaning fair market value of the donkey, fair market value of the cooked vegetables, and you have to redeem it at dollar for dollar, and then you go over to the Kohen and you hand him a nice big bowl of cooked vegetables. So the Gemara says, Bishav, you have low kamar. Fine, you're right. If I'm redeeming a dollar for dollar, point well taken. Ki kamrina shalo b'shav yav. We're talking about where I don't redeem it at its value, but rather I redeem it at not its value, meaning sheep. A little sheep is going to redeem this big donkey. How does that work? Because the Torah says it works. But again, though, we go back to the argument that the mere fact that the Torah says that's what you have to do is indicative of the fact that it has Kedusha. So the Gemara says, well, let me ask you about Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni can be redeemed. Right? If you're not going to go to Yerushalayim, needs to be redeemed. And the Torah is also very specific. You have to redeem it with minted coins, Kesef Tsuri. The Torah says, Vitzarta ha-Kesef bi'adecha. You gotta take the coin in your hand, but we dash in the word Sarta, meaning Tsura. It needs to be a minted coin. V'tanan Rav Yehuda Omer b'mezid kidesh. If I go over to a woman and I say to her, I want you to be mekadesh you with this Meister Sheni. It works. Uve petro chamor nami miktashe. And it would work also by petro chamor as well. So now, it's somewhat of an issue. Meaning, we are now arguing that Your Meiser Sheni and your Petro Chamor both have Kedusha, which means that you can't get benefit from it. And meanwhile, I could use it as a mechanism, as a vehicle, to be Mekadosh a woman. So the Gemara's answer is Kidur Rav Elazar. The Gemara says, no, you understand that when you're being Mekadosh the woman, I'll explain to you how this works. Rav Elazar explains to us. Da'amar Rav Elazar, Isha Yoda, Shei Meiser Sheni Mischala Al Yada. She understands. This is Meiser Sheni. She understands what she needs to do. The Olav Ochlas of Yerushalayim, she goes up to Yerushalayim, she eats in Yerushalayim, as is the rule by Meiser Sheni. So in other words, it is not that it just simply needs redemption, but you can get benefit from it. No, it needs redemption. If you don't redeem it, you can't get benefit from it. How are you being Mekadosh a woman? Because she'll take it up to Yerushalayim, she'll eat it there. Hachanami. Similarly over here, Ishi Adanta Petach Hamor Isura Isbei. She understands Petach Hamor as well. It's aser bahana, you can't get benefit from it. So how did the Kedushin work? Answers the Gemara. What she'll do is, uparka lebeser, she'll redeem it with a sheep. Remember, we just established that when you redeem a firstborn donkey with a sheep, you don't need to go dollar for dollar. It could be a $100 donkey, and you can go over the $20 sheep and redeem it, and then what about the difference? Difference is yours. Umekache bahachta beni beni, and you're going to be mekadosh using the difference. Okay. That is all Rabbi Yehuda. So again, step one today. Rabbi Yehuda says that your petra chamor, your firstborn donkey, is Aser Bahana. And his explanation, one first of two explanations. Explanation number one is because you have to redeem it. It's really that simple. You have to redeem it. The fact that you have to redeem it shows us that it's Aser Bahana. Now we go to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, my time amar ula yeshach adavar shepijon muter vehu aser. So Rabbi Shimon says, go to the next part of the story. Right? It's funny. Rabbi Shimon says, okay, now but read on. Right, go to the next part of the story, which is, okay, now you redeem it. What's with the sheep? Sheep doesn't have kedusha. Sheep has no sanctity whatsoever. Yes, you have to give it to the Kohen. Yes, the Kohen's the owner of it, but it doesn't have any sanctity. Kohen could do whatever he wants with it. So if the pigeon, if that which you redeemed it with is mutar bahana, so don't you think that the original animal is also going to be mutar bahana? That's the argument of Rav Shimon, and that also is an outstanding argument. So yesh chadav shepijun mutar vehu aser v'lova hare shvius depijun mutar vehi asura. So the Gemara says, what about peir shvius? Any fruit that grows during the seventh year has kedusha, has sanctity, meaning that it has to be eaten. You can't do commerce with it. La'achla v'lo l'schora. And okay, and also there's a mitzvah of biur that when it no longer is out in the field, it needs to be destroyed. Okay, kedusha shvius. What if I exchange something with peir shvius? So the Gemara at this point is suggesting, well, that which you redeem, it doesn't have kedusha shvius. But the Gemara immediately corrects. That's not true. Shvius nami pijona aser. It's not correct. Meaning when I exchange peir shvius with something else, that other item is going to have kedusha shvius. Now, amar ha'acharon acharon aser. The last item becomes aser. What does that mean? Rashi reminds us of the Gemara in Sukkah, which we also went through a long time ago. The Gemara in Sukkah says that, let's say I take my peir shvius and I exchange it for a piece of meat. The meat is going to have kedusha shvius. By the way, the peiros themselves never lose kedusha shvius. They always will retain their kedusha shvius. So I exchange it for meat, the meat's not going to have kedusha shvius. What if I take that meat and now exchange it for wine? The kedusha will go from the meat to the wine. I change the wine for oil. The kedusha will go from the wine to the oil. So acharon, acharon, aser. The last item is always going to have the iser of kedusha shvius. Okay, so in other words, point taken, that you find that if something has kedusha, that which it redeems for also will have kedusha. Okay, so that is now the end of argument number one for both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So again, it's very simple. Rabbi Yehuda will say that your petra chamor has kedusha because it needs to be redeemed. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the petra chamor does not have kedusha because it's true you need to redeem it, but look at the result. The sheep that you redeemed it for doesn't have kedusha. So that must mean the petra chamor also doesn't have kedusha. It needs to be redeemed? Okay, that's an issue. Meaning, I don't know what Rabbi Shimon will say about that, but just look at the product of redemption. E by Yisema, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Bahai Kra Kamiflagi. Or, the Gemara will now suggest, maybe it's a different machlokas. Not machlokas in Svara, but a machlokas in Psukim. The Tanya of the Torah says, Lo Savod Bivchor Sharecha, you're not allowed to work your firstborn ox. That's kosher animal. What if it's a joint partnership? Fine, right? Remember, this is an issue we discussed in Chulin at length. We discussed in the beginning of Becharos. Partnership is fine. Partnership between Jew and non-Jew. Same thing with shearing. If it's partnership, it does not have kedusha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo savod bevechor sharecha, aval ata oved bevechor adam. You can't work your firstborn ox, but you can work your firstborn son. Okay, he can get you that drink. And lo sagos bevechor sharecha, aval ata gozeiz bevechor chamor. You can't shear your firstborn goat, sheep, but you can shear your firstborn donkey. Okay. And that is Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that's its own issue. Now look, for Rabbi Shimon, the repetition of Pasuk, and he makes out two drushas from the two Pesukim. Good. But what Rabbi Yehuda did is he made the same point twice over, meaning partnership is exempt. And what's the second drasha? Partnership is exempt. It's the same point. So Vesula, Rabbi Yehuda, Bechor Adam Nami, name of the Aser, And the Gemara says, and, oh, by the way, Rav Yehuda didn't mention anything about Bechor Adam. Does he disagree? Does he say that your firstborn son is Aser Bahana, and where he can now turn to you and say to you, no, I can't get you the drink. You can't get benefit from me. In other words, we're not going to disagree on that point, but where does Rav Yehuda get it from? So the Gemara says, no. So we're going to revisit the drasha, and we're going to learn the drasha like this. The first point of Bechor Adam, the first point of Bechor Sharcha is Lemeute Bechor Adam. There's no Isser Hana'a by your firstborn son, even if you don't redeem him. It's the next part of the Pasuk. Look, Rav Yehuda says that a partnership does not exempt, right? And that's the same Rav Yehuda that we started off the Masechta learning. Again, we don't pasuk like Rav Yehuda, but, right, and the Gemara says, right, you remember the second day of Becharos. No one's choshesh for the sheet of Rav Yehuda, but that is Rav Yehuda's position.
Isn't there a contradiction with Rav Yehuda? Because in the Breitha you just quoted, he said that if it's yours and others, you can actually work with it. You can work with it. But that contradicts him because he said that it retained the Kedusha, even if your partnership with someone.
I'm with you. So I guess, the Gemara didn't ask that question. I guess the Gemara could have asked that question as well. Meaning, we're going to redo the Braisa anyway.
Right.
Why, and the Gemara could have made that point. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't raise that as also a basic issue. Okay, point well taken. So the Gemara says like this. Look, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, partnership with a non-Jew will still obligate in the mitzvah of Bechor. And what the pasuk is coming to tell me is that there is still a heter of Giza Avoda. Rabbi Shimon Savar, he says that there's an exemption. And as far as the permission of shearing the animal, look, I don't need a pasuk. Once it's exempt from Bechora, that's it. So ki yitzarcha lepetor chamor. So the only thing now left is an exemption for a petor chamor. Okay, bishlam l'Rav Yehuda haynu dichsev tzoncha v'shorcha atu tzoncha. Dichsev tzonecha v'shorcha atu tzonecha. Look, I understand from Rav Yehuda's standpoint why the Torah has to say shorcha and tzoncha, but ella Rabbi Shimon shorcha v'tzoncha lamali. But from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, so why does it need to say shorcha, your shor, and tzonecha, and your tzon? So Kasha, so the Gemara says, okay, that's a problem. Okay, that'll be difficult. Good. Okay, that takes us through the first part of today. Okay? So simple. When all said and done, it's almost a full Amud of Gemara, but to put it in a two-sentence summary statement. Is your Petr Chamor Aser Bahana? Does it have Kedusha? So, right? Basically, Hava Hatalia seems to be that's really the overarching issue. Rav Yehuda says it has Kedusha. You can't get benefit from it. That's our Mishnah. It needs to be redeemed. Even if I'm not giving it to the Kohen, it needs to be redeemed. Either because Svara, the Torah says you have to redeem it, or Psukim, the Gemara darshans that based on the Psukim that we just went through. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it does not have Kedusha. Your Petor Chamor does not have Kedusha. Svara, what's the argument? Because look, when I redeem it with the sheep doesn't have any Kedusha. So if the sheep doesn't have any Kedusha, must be the Petor Chamor doesn't have any Kedusha. Or he darshans it out from the Pesukim that we just did. Good. Continue. It's an excellent question. I don't have an answer. Okay? No, but, you could ask the same question by Bechor Adam, meaning the Bechor Adam is Motar Bahana, and yet we have a mitzvah to redeem the firstborn son. Here too, also there's going to be a benefit to the Kohen.
You use it for yourself.
No, you give it to the Kohen. The sheep you have to give to the Kohen. It's the same. I'll tell you what. It's a good question, but it's the same question by Bechor Adam. Not that I'm answering your question, but it's the same exact phenomenon.
What about the sheep that you don't give to the Kohen that you keep yourself?
Right.
Is there any restriction on that sheep?
No. Meaning.
So what are you really
doing? Yeah, so from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, what are you doing? So it could be, the Gemara didn't say this straight out, but it could be that from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, you don't need to go through the Mishnah's process. Rabbi Shimon may argue with that very position that the Mishnah takes. The Mishnah says, you're not sure if you need to give it to the Kohen. So our Mishnah says, but you need to redeem it, because our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. It could be that according to Rabbi Shimon, nah, it's fine. The firstborn donkey is not asur b'hanah. You're good. And you don't have to give it to the kohen. You're good.
In the case, they are not quite similar to the bechor, because in the case that it's mentioned here, that you have two, then there's a doubt as which one was which. You keep the set, but for the bechor, you don't do that. You always have to give the money, right?
No, if there's a safek, you don't need to give it to the kohen. Do you need to? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Bechor Adam, we'll talk about later. Right. Understood. In any case of Kiddushin, if she's unhappy with what she received, it for her does not have value, so the Kiddushin doesn't work. She has to be willing. But even when she's willing, you have to give her an item of value, of actual value. So that's what the Gemara says. It works the way Rabbi Elazar says it was going to work, which is she's going to have to go to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim. At that point, then and only then do we say it has value. Omode Rabbi Shimon Amar Rabba. Okay? So that's a machlokis tanayim. Okay, now step number two for today. A layer on top of that, a machlokis amarayim. Amar Rabba, Omode Rabbi Shimon, laharifa shu asar. Okay. There's a mitzvah of arifa. The Torah says that with the bechor chamor, with your petor chamor, tifte beseh, you have to redeem it with a sheep, v'im lo sifdeh, and if you do not redeem it with a sheep, arafto. You take a hatchet on the back of the neck of the donkey and you kill it. Rabbi Shimon will agree, even though Rabbi Shimon has maintained, up until that point in time, your donkey was mutar bahana, but once you have arafto, so then it's asa bahana. Okay. My taima, right, let's go through the Gemara first. My taima gamar arifa, arifa megla rufa. So first of all, where else do we have arifa? We all know the answer. Egla Rufa. And we also all know that the Egla Rufa is Asur Bahana. You can't get benefit from it. And oh, by the way, the Egla Rufa, you can't get benefit from it even before you hatchet it. Right? Once you take it down into Nachal Esan. So then you, at that point in time, it's Asur Bahana. Amar Rava Mina Amin La Detanya. And he said, and Rava says, how do I know this to be the case? Are we changing the gear? Is it Rava? It makes more sense that it's Rabba because it's him that just made the position. Okay, and here's our return. Okay, you were missing it, I know. Here's our return to Tumas Ochlin. Okay, so we're going to list all these items they all have in common. They're all Asur Ba'ana. Arla, right, the first fruits of the first 3 years of the tree. Klai HaKeren, a vineyard planted with other seeds, shor haniskal, an animal that killed somebody, and now it itself needs to be killed. The egla arufa, okay. Sipori mitzora, the birds of the mitzora, also asur b'hana. Petor chamor, firstborn donkey. Basar b'chalav, kula metame tumas ochlin. They're all going to be metame tumas ochlin, okay. Which means that if I designate it as a food, it will have the designation as food, and as such be subject to Tumas Ochlin. Remember, Tumas Ochlin means that it can receive Tuma and then transfer it to another food. It is not an Avatum, it's not a source of Tuma, but it can receive Tuma and give it to others. Now remember, Tumas Ochlin can be also subject to Tuma, even though you and I are not allowed to eat it. Any one of these things mentioned over here, you can't eat. You can't eat. Can eat it and you can't even get benefit from it. But nevertheless, it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, now remember all this because Rabbi Shimon, same thing we learned back in Chulin, 10th Perek. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chulin and Metame Tumas Ochlin. Rabbi Shimon says, it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin because Rabbi Shimon says, a criteria for Tumas Ochlin is that it has to be Mutar Bahana. You have to be able to benefit from it. And all these things are Asur Bahana. And Rabbi Shimon says, but I will make one exception, and that's meat and milk. Meat and milk is subject to Tumas Ochlin, even though it's Asur Bahana, although the Gemara later on will point out that Rabbi Shimon disagrees on that point, and Rabbi Shimon holds that Basar B'chalav is Mutar Bahana. Okay, breathe, come back. So, but Rabbi Shimon says meat and milk is subject to Tumas Ochlin because it had a Shasa kosher prior to when you cooked it. My time with the Rabbi Shimon. Now, why? Why, according to Rabbi Shimon, does food need to be mutar bahana in order to be subject to Tumas Ochlin? Because of the pasuk dechsi mekol ochel sheyachel ochel shata yochol laachilo laachem kari ochel and shei ato yochol laachilo laachem eino kari ochel. Okay, in order for food to be called food, you have to be able to feed it to somebody else. E hachi. So the Gemara now is going to make just a quick correction, not a correction, but just a just one small point, which is bas bechal meat and milk. So my ear yadai filo shasa kosher table gedol chashato yachilo. I'm sorry. She yachola haachilo laachemhu. Meat and milk, you can feed it to others according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, we don't follow like Rabbi Shimon. We hold that meat and milk is asabana, but good. But again, we're now learning Rabbi Shimon. If Rabbi Shimon says that the criteria for Tumas Ochlin is as long as you can feed it to others, he holds that way by Basa Bechalav, the time we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Basa Bechalav, Asaba Achila, Umutar Behana'a. He learns it out based on drashas. The Gemara is going to go through the drasha. Shenemar, Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha. Ulahalan ohu omer v'anshe kodesh tiyun li. One pasuk is talking about basa b'chalav. The other pasuk is talking about shreifa. Ma lahalan asa b'achila muta b'hana. Afkan asa b'achila umuta b'hana. You see the word kadosh is used both. And both in both occasions by shreifa. Shreifa is asa b'achila but muta b'hana. Basa b'chalav, same story. Asa b'achila umuta b'hana. So why, just 1 second. Why according to Rabbi Shimon, is he giving the argument of, well, I had a shasa kosher, give a simpler argument, you're allowed to get benefit from meat and milk, chad v'od kamar. So the Gemara says, yes and yes. Both points are true. Chad de'ochel shato yachol la'achil la'acherim hu. Number one, basa b'chalav is something you could feed to others, again, according to Rabbi Shimon. V'od l'didei nami harei ha'yitzolo shasa kosher. And in addition to that, meat and milk had a shasa kosher. Consequently, that's why it has subject to Tumas Ochlin. Both points would be true.
Why didn't he mention chametz and matzah? At one point, they were edible when they're not mixed.
Yeah, but, well, chametz isn't mentioned by the Tanna Kamma, so, okay, fine.
You had the example of making a chair out of the dry
chametz. Right. V'im isa de la achar arifa, shari Rabbi Shimon, lisne amod Rabbi Shimon beto chamor. So here's their argument, meaning the whole reason why we introduce this braisa, Tumas Ochlin, over here is just to support our thesis. Our thesis, by the way, really means Rabba's thesis. But it's to support it. Rabba says that Rabbi Shimon agrees that after you break the neck of the Petr Chamor, it's Asar Bahana, right? And how do you see that? Because here in this long braisa, Rabbi Shimon says, and I present to you the exception to the rule, basa b'chalav. So the Gemara says, had Rabbi Shimon agreed that the petar chamor, after you break the neck, is mutar b'hana, so he should have included petar chamor as a second exception. But it's not. What do you see? That even Rabbi Shimon agrees that petar chamor, after you break the neck of the animal, is asar b'hana, and that's why it is not an exception. So the Gemara says it's a proof, but it's not a great proof. E de chashiv aleha hachanami, hache b'mayiskinan de lo chashiv aleha. So the Gemara says, look, we're talking about Tumas Ochlin. Tumas Ochlin is a little bit nebulous, meaning a little bit. Okay, I'm being nice today. Okay, Tumas Ochlin means it's a food, but it has to be something to be considered to be eaten. Look, first of all, remember, we're talking about a whole list of things that you and I are not allowed to eat because it's asur b'achila. But in the world of Tumas Ochlin, we bypass that. Meaning, it's a food. As long as it's a food, it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. Designated and committed as a food, even though you and I are not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara now is making the following argument, which is that here, you know why Petr Chamor, you know why Rabbi Shimon doesn't count as an exception? Because he wasn't machshivit. He didn't consider to eat it. Meaning now what the Gemara is arguing is that according to Rabbi Shimon, if by the Petra Chamor you did consider to eat it, so then it would be subject to Tumas Ochlin. So, Umor Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, Eid Chashiv Alaha Chaname, Hacham Amaiskin, Dolo Chashiv Alaha. The time am I mitame rabbanon? Okay. So now, that's Rabbi Shimon. Now let's go back to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that it is tame. So why? So listen to this. This is so interesting. Amru rabbanon kamed rav sheshes, hoel v'isuro chishuvo. So he says, I'll tell you why, according to the Chachamim. The fact that the Torah asks it, gives it status.
Makes it food.
Okay, you can, this is really, I mean, correct. Just, I mean, chew on this for a while. I mean, not literally, but you can't. But just chew on this idea that if the Torah points to something and says, you're not allowed to eat that, it's chashev. Okay, can I give you, huh? Because somebody else can eat it. Can I give you an analogy which you may or may not like, but really speaks to me? It's that, you know, when your child asks you for something and you say no, right? You've just given that status, right? And now, of course, now they're going to want it more. Okay? I'm the only one who's experienced this. Okay. And essentially, what now the Gemara is arguing on behalf of the Chachamim is, yeah, that, meaning, if the Torah says regarding this Petra Chamor, you can't eat it, that in of itself gives it chashivas. That gives it status, and that's going to give it the status of Tumas Ochlin. So you don't need to have any particular machshava. The mere fact that the Torah says it's aser gives it chashivas.
This doesn't apply for everything that the Torah says no to.
Well, again, this whole discussion is just limited to Tumas Ochlin. It's a Tumas Ochlin discussion. Ula Rabbanu Mi'amar Hol V'Yisurah Chishuvah V'Hatanan. So the Gemara says, is that true? Is that really true that every time the Torah says it's aser, it's now upgraded to a davar chashuv, and by Tumas Ochlin, it's now subject to Tumas Ochlin? We learned in a Mishnah Shoshas Advar Mamur Benevelas Oftar, there are 13 things that are said by the carcass of a kosher bird that did not receive a proper shechita. Vizu achas mehem. Now, please do not worry, we're not going to go through all 13, or perhaps you would like to hear all 13. Turn to the Mishnah, first Mishnah in Taharos. Okay, where are you going to find this? Okay. It needs machshava. And it does not require hechsher. Now, there's a couple of technical points which I'll go over quickly. It needs machshava. What does that mean? Meaning, if this bird is going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin, it needs machshava. Now, isn't the bird itself a source of Tuma? No. Actually, no. Right. If you swallow a kezias of the bird, you're going to be tummy, but that's tumas blia. You touch it all day, you carry it, it's not going to give off tumah. Carcass of a dead bird only gives off tumah when you swallow it. So, huh? And tumas blia is an avitumah, it's a source of tumah. But vis-a-vis touching it, it doesn't give off tumah. So now, as a source of tumah, it's not. So now, what's left? Tumas Ochlin. Now, of course, you and I are not allowed to eat it, but remember, Tumas Ochlin, that doesn't matter. As long as it's committed as a food. So, but what does the Mishnah say? This is important. The Mishnah says, Tzricha Machshava, it requires Machshava. Now, you'll say to yourself, requires Machshava? What? The Torah says it's Aser. Didn't you just contend that according to the Chachamim, once the Torah Aser something, that immediately gives it status? So what's the Mishnah in Taharas telling us that you need Machshava? And oh, by the way, it doesn't require Hechsher. And again, that's a... It doesn't require Hechsher, Rashi explains, because it's subject to Tumas, it's going to be an Avatumah. We have a general rule in the world of Hechsher that anything which will become Tumah Chamura doesn't need Hechsher. Okay, that's not our discussion right now. It's not our main point right now. But let's just focus on the question. Why do you need machshava? The Torah says it's aser. The Gemara's answer is very simple. I'm sorry. First, the Gemara articulates the question. V'i isuro chishuvo lama li machshava. Torah says it's aser. Why do I need a machshava? Hamani Rabbi Shimon hi. That answers the Gemara very simply. That Mishnah represents Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to this viewpoint of the Torah's asurs it, immediately gives it status. Tashma, we're going to do this again, and the answer is going to be the same. Nevelas mayim to meabachol makov and nevelas oftar v'achel of bekfar and tzrichim achshava v'ain tzrichim hechsher, that the carcass of an animal, a non-kosher animal, and the carcass of a bird, a kosher bird, and chaylev out in the villages. Remember, we talked about this back in Chulin. Chaylev out in the villages, they don't normally eat it, right? They're satisfied with the meat. Okay, see Rashi over here who discusses it more at length. Anyway, tzrichim achshava v'ain tzrichim hechsher requires machshava. And again, the question is going to be the same question. We're talking about nevela. We're talking about the carcass of an animal. We're talking about non-kosher animal. It's asur. Shouldn't that automatically give it status? Amani Rabbi Shimon he. Again, that is going like Rabbi Shimon. Tashma, the Gemara will try this one more time. Nevelas behema tahara b'chol makom nevelas sofa tahara v'achela b'shvakim einan tzrichin machshava v'lo hechsher. Carcass of a kosher animal didn't receive a proper shechita, and the carcass of a kosher bird and chalav out in the city, which people do generally eat, do not require machshava. Okay, that's not a question. Where's the question? What, not on what the Brice is saying, but the implied statement. Hatameya by machshava. What if it's not the carcass of a kosher animal? What if it's the carcass of a non-kosher animal? Sounds like, again, by implication, that it requires machshava. V'chite mahamani Rabbi Shimon hi. Okay, so what's your go-to move? That goes like Rabbi Shimon. Your go-to move is not going to work over here. Hamid to say for Rabbi Shimon, havi reisha lav Rabbi Shimon. Because if you go to the next part of that braisa, which we're going to see in just a second, it introduces Rabbi Shimon, which tells us that the first part is not going like Rabbi Shimon. Diktani sefer Rabbi Shimon Omer Afa Gamal va'arneves va'shafan va'chazir einan tzrichin lo machshava v'lo hechsher. A pig, a camel, doesn't require machshava. How do you understand that? That's a non-kosher animal. That right?
What? Because
okay, you could say, and the Gemara does that sometimes. The Amar Rabbi Shimon. And these items, these animals, sorry, that we just went over, have some simani tahara, give it some status. Ella amarava. Okay. So the Gemara, so Rava says, let's abandon ship. Okay? Right? It's an interesting concept, and the Gemara entertained it for a significant amount of time, a half an amud. The Gemara entertained this idea that if the Torah asers it, it gives it chashivas. But you know what now, suggests the Gemara? Abandon ship. No one maintains this. No one holds that isuro chishuvo. Okay. V'id arfei ma'araf hachinami. Now, if I did what I was supposed to do, which is hatchet the animal from the back of the neck, so everyone would be in full agreement. Hacha b'maiskinon kagon sheshachto lehislamed bo. We are talking about over here where I shechted my egla arufa. Now you shouldn't have, right? Yeah, in other words, huh? I'm sorry. The b'chor.
The chulin where a Jew did a shechita on a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew.
Right. Understood. But, okay, just one second. So the Gemara says, look, if I did a Rifa, everyone's in full agreement. Right, there's no concept of Isur Chishuvo. Okay, it's not a food. It's simply not going to be a food. Okay, what we are discussing now is where you go up to the Petach Hamor and says, look, I want to learn how to do Shechita. I don't want to practice on a real animal. Okay, because I may not do a good job. I may trafe up the animal. So you know what? Practice on the donkey. Now here, this donkey required arifa, but instead of doing arifa, you shecht it in order to practice.
Is this food or not?
Is it now considered a food, or is it not considered a food? Look at the top Rashi on the Amud Hachav b'Ma'iskin Kegod Sheshach Shachto LePetach Hamor VeIdeshach LoShem Shchita Gemara Filo Rabbi Shimon Himach Shava Ometame. Look.
If I did a bona fide shechita, now what does that mean, bona fide shechita? We're talking about a donkey over here. It means that I'm really intent on doing an act of shechita. Now, as we've learned, we did this in Chulin also, and I know this is, it's challenging, it's difficult to understand. But in the world of Tumas Ochlin, you just need commitment. Just need a commitment. You and I are not going to eat it. Understood. But for Tumas Ochlin, you just need a commitment. It needs to be committed.
Rabbi Shimon himself said that if the end product is not edible, it's not considered an act of shechita. That's one of the principles
that he also said. Okay, just wait. I'm with you. Just wait 1 second. So, the Rabbi Shimon, have you machshava u'mitame? So Rabbi Shimon says, good. So, in other words, it's going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. And the Chachamim's position is, look, you did shechita. Granted, it wasn't with intent. Granted, you were just practicing, but you did the act of shechita. And that's now going to take this donkey and this donkey meat and turn it into food. Again, food in terms of Tumas Ochlin. And Rabbi Shimon Savar, Hachshita, Lav Mal Yasihi, V'lo Havi Machshava, Uveplukta, Denimus, Rav Elazar. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it needs more than just an act of Shechita. It needs intent, it needs Machshava. And look, Uveplukta, Denimus, Rav Elazar, Detanya, Amar Rav Yossi, Sachli, Nimus, Achav, Sharav Yeshua, Hagarsi. And the following was told to me over by Nimus, brother of Rav Yehoshua HaGarsi. Shashochit es ha'orv l'islam edbo. You practice on a raven, obviously a non-kosher bird, damo machshir. The blood of such raven will serve as a machshir. It's like dam shechita. Even though it's a raven. And Rabbi Lazar omer dam shechita lo la machshir. And Rabbi Lazar seems to be saying the exact same thing. The exact same thing. So Rabbi Lazar ha'inu ta'na kama, so the Gemara says, what's the difference? So the Gemara suggests that this is a nikuna machlokas. Tanakama savar, damo machshir la alma. Blood will be a machshir, right, for everything else. Ava lagufe bayi machshava. But the raven itself requires a machshava. In other words, the fact that it's aser, that's not enough. It needs a machshava. V'asar Rav Elazar lemeimer dam shechita lo lamachshir v'afilu legufe nami lo bai machshava. And even the raven itself does not require machshava. Right. Just simply, no. A machshava just simply means that I'm not going to eat it, but somebody else will eat it, and I'll give it status. Right. That's also a very good point.
But by the same token, he doesn't consider it as an act of shechita.
But Rabbi Shimon's position that an act of shechita is machshir is by a kosher animal.
Right.
Right. We're talking now about the raven. That's not that you and I are not going
to
eat.
But the blood is to make
atonement. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Mimai. Holy Yeshbo Simani Tahara. And the Gemara says that's what's behind Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, you know, the simple truth of the matter is I can give you a different explanation. It has Simani Tahara. Ominalan. And how do I know? And by the way, this takes us way back in terms of the raven having some Simani Tahara. Okay? So the Ominalan, the Simani Tahara, Mel Sehitik, Tani Allah, Dahu, Dahi, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Matam Hovi Yeshbo Simani Tahara. And we know that from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, Simani Tahara gives something status. So the Gemara says, if you're right, that may be an excellent argument. But why was the case I'm practicing? Who cares about practicing? Meaning maybe it was just a slip of the wrist and I just happened to shecht a raven. What do you need practice involved? In Achinami Mishum Nimus, the Gemara says, point very well taken. It doesn't even have to be l'islami. Meaning, if I just shechted a raven, even if it was just a slip of a wrist, the food, the carcass of that raven is subject to Tumas Ochlin. Why? Because it has Simani Tahara. Okay. Eisvei. One more for today. La Ratza Lefdoso. Okay, so again, where are we right now? We have successfully, okay, debatable, but we have successfully gone through this, the topic of Tumas Ochlin, right? Try to fine-tune our understanding of what is and what isn't subject to Tumas Ochlin, but the entire reason why we brought in Tumas Ochlin over here is to substantiate the statement of Rabbah. Again, Rabbah says that after you hatchet your Petr Chamor, everyone's going to agree, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that the Petr Chamor is Asr Bahana. You cannot get benefit from that firstborn donkey after you hatchet it. Even though Rabbi Shimon says that while that firstborn donkey was alive, you can get whatever benefit you want from it, after Arifa, you cannot get benefit from it. Esve. La Ratzel of Dosa Orfo Bekufitz Me'achora V'kovro V'asr Bahana Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Okay. As contradictions go, by the way, this one seems to be pretty clear. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, you hatchet it, and it's Asr Bahana. And Rabbi Shimon says, it's Mutter. What? Rabbi, didn't you just assert that after Arifa, everyone agrees? Ema Umechayim Asr Bahana Rabbi Shimon Matir. The Gemara tries to sidestep, and the Gemara says, well, maybe this price is talking about while it's alive. Havi mi de sefer chayim, havi reisha lav mi chayim. Diktani sefer. Gemara says, that's hard to argue, because move on. Lo yimi senu lo bekana v'lo b'maga v'lo b'kardon v'lo b'magera v'lo yachni senu le cheder v'yin ol delos lefana v'shvo shiamos. You can't kill it any other way. It's got to be a rifa. And also begiza v'avoda, div rav Yehuda. And also you cannot get benefit from shearing. And you can't work it. That's clearly talking about while it's alive. All right, understood. Hard to work an animal after it's dead. Rabbi Shimon, matir. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can get whatever benefit from you while it's alive. So that's the other part of the brisa. What's talking about where the animal's alive. So it must be that the first part was talking about when the animal's dead. That presents a problem because Rabbi Shimon now is saying that it's mutar bahana, both when it's alive and when it's dead. Reisha v'seifa mechayim. So the Gemara's answer is both parts of the brisa are talking about while the animal's alive. Reisha bahana's damav, seifa bahana's gufo. First part's talking about getting value, getting benefit from its value, meaning, Rashi gives examples, renting it out to somebody else. And the other part of the brisa is talking about getting benefit from it itself, meaning shearing. If it's just hanas damav, renting it out, Rabbi Shimon says, that's fine. But I might have thought that shearing it, no, you can't shear it, it's got Kedusha. And if it were just Hanas Gufo, Rabbi Yehuda would say you can't get benefit from shearing. But to get benefit from its value, so therefore they're both necessary. Okay, so far, we'll stop here. So far, the Gemara has defended Rabbi's assertion. While your animal is alive, your Petr Chamor, your firstborn donkey, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't get benefit from it. Rabbi Shimon says you can get benefit from it. It's either Machlokis and Svara, like we start off the daf today, or it's Machlokis and Psukim. Rabba says after you did a rifa to your firstborn donkey, everybody agrees, including Rabbi Shimon, that it's Aser Behana, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. We try to bring a proof based on a Mishnah regarding Tumas Ochlin. The proof went okay, didn't go great. We questioned it based on a brisa that we just learned. Again, we sidestepped that brisa as well because the brisa we said is only talking about while the firstborn donkey is alive. I'll end off today with a question. Tomorrow I'll answer the question. Okay? This arifa, the hatcheting, is it a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah to hatchet it? Meaning, the Torah says, first to redeem it. And we'll learn in the Mishnah a little bit later on as we get to the end of the first perek. That your first option is to redeem it. Right. But you don't redeem it. And the Torah says, you have to hatchet it. Are we gonna count that as a mitzvah?